North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Two individuals, Dallas Aaron Umber and Matthew Allison, in custody and facing charges of trying to start a race war using the messaging app Telegram.
Federal officials are growing increasingly concerned that domestic extremists are finding safe haven on this site to be able to go and share information like bomb-making instructions, how to carry out a mass attack targeting places like synagogues or ethnic centers. And that's what's laid out in detail in this indictment. This elevated not to just words, but there were three individuals tied to this group who actually either sought to or did carry out attacks that resulted in deaths.
ABC's Alex Mallon. Vice President Harris and former President Trump debate tonight at Philadelphia's National Constitution Center, 9 p.m. on ABC. The search for accused I-75 sniper Joseph Couch continues in southeast Kentucky. He's charged with shooting 12 vehicles with a semi-automatic rifle on Saturday, wounding five people. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Two new polls show a tight presidential race in Wisconsin. Terry Bell reports.
The CBS News YouGov poll finds 51% of likely voters favor Kamala Harris, while 49% back Donald Trump. Meanwhile, consulting firm Platform Communications finds Harris leading Trump with likely Wisconsin voters 48% to 45%. I'm Terry Bell.
Both polls put Harris's lead inside the margin of error. Democratic vice presidential nominee Tim Walz returns to Wisconsin later this week. Walz will appear at different political events in Wausau on Friday night, then stump in Superior on Saturday afternoon. Walz spoke at Milwaukee's Labor Fest on Labor Day. Donald Trump spoke to a rally in central Wisconsin over the weekend. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers will have to get by without QB1. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Jordan Love is expected to miss 3 to 6 weeks with an MCL sprain, and head coach Matt LaFleur says they won't risk anything with his injury.
If he gets cleared, we'll give him every opportunity like we always will, and I know he's doing everything in his power. I know he's spending a lot of time trying to get back as soon as possible, but certainly we're not going to put him in a position where if he can't protect himself that he'd go out there.
On Sunday, it will be the Green Bay Packers taking on the Indianapolis Colts as each team seeks its first victory. Wisconsin football plays Alabama this week, and head coach Luke Fickell says the defense will need to play smart.
Sometimes, and these are the situations where, guys, you can't be thinking about the big plays. You got to be thinking about the real consistent, sound things, because if you get out of place on a team like this, and in particular a quarterback like this, there's some really bad things that can happen.
Kickoff is at 11 a.m. Saturday. And tonight, the Brewers begin a 6-game road trip in San Francisco. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska for Civic Media Sports.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Today's U.S. Bowling League Day. I am not in a bowling league. I think that would actually be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I do like to bowl. But
you got the bowling shirt going on tonight there, Pete.
I do have the bowling shirt. In case the game breaks out, I'm ready. Because I was raised, I'm a street bowler, Chris. I'm ready in case a game breaks out. It could happen.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, she is running in Wisconsin's 18th Senate District. Kristen Alfheim joins us at 11:06. We'll hear what she's hearing about on the campaign trail. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
We could catch an isolated sprinkle or two at some point today. Otherwise, partly cloudy, a little breezy with a high in the low 80s. Tonight, partly cloudy, upper 50s to low 60s. And then tomorrow, it'll be partly cloudy, not as breezy with a high in the low to mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Today's U.S. Bowling League Day. I am not in a bowling league. I think that would actually be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I do like to bowl. But,
you got the bowling shirt going on tonight there, Pete.
I do have the bowling shirt. In case the game breaks out, I'm ready. Because I was raised, I'm a street bowler, Chris. I'm ready in case a game breaks out. It could happen.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome author, comedian Roger Rittenhouse, who will discuss his new book, Big Techs, and Tim Sowers from the Overture Center in Madison drops by to discuss their upcoming slate.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Boy, another beautiful day on the way across the state of Wisconsin. Welcome in, everybody. It is a Tuesday, and I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Weather-wise, I don't think we can complain for this. The 10th day of September, I'll tell you what, daytime highs today expected to touch out in the low 80s. Now, La Crosse, you've got the possibility for an isolated showers before 1 o'clock today. But again, just a thin possibility on that. We'll find out more weather details. Stu Mucker, ag meteorologist, up in about 15 minutes. A lot of dairy farmers in Wisconsin have been hoping that there is going to be some changes afoot in the federal milk marketing orders that will help them with milk pricing certainty for the future. Is that likely to happen? Next week, Wednesday, ag economists from all across the United States, dairy experts, leaders in the dairy industry are coming together in Madison to discuss it. We've got a sneak peek on that conversation with Chuck Nicholson, associate professor and ag economist on the UW-Madison campus. Stephanie Hoff brings us those details. We're taking a look at the latest crop progress report and how good our corn and soybeans are looking across the state. Before we catch up with John Heinberg, market advisor, Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. He's another guest you can expect this morning. As they say, the chickens have come home to roost. It's time to find out how your decisions in spring are panning out with the yield this fall. Time for a Helena update brought to you courtesy of our friends at Helena Agri. I'm catching up with Dean Ebert. He is my Helena representative in West Bend. And Dean, you've already started to take a look at some corn silage samples. What do you see?
Well, we're seeing, just looking at ear development, most hybrids are showing a little smaller flex. Flex is determined when that plant is small before V6. You know, in that 10, 12-inch range, girth of the cob is all in place. But All our wet, wonderful weather that we had really stressed our hybrids. So generally speaking, in ear development, it's roughly two rows less on flex. Not on every hybrid, but we're noticing it on some.
All right, so some of the first information from the field, as you would expect from Dean Ebert. He's in the West Bend area. He is one of the Helena Agri representatives that is there with you as your partner going into the harvest of 2024. Go to HelenaAgri.com to find more.
Are crumbling roads making your job difficult? The Agricultural Road Improvement Program is a resource that can help. Applications are now open and will close on September 30th. Help your local town or county apply for this valuable investment in local roadways by filling out the Farmer Support Form, now available at WFBF.com. Wisconsin Farm Bureau, the trusted voice leading Wisconsin agriculture forward. School is back in session, which means your family is probably readjusting to the back-to-school routine, including what you're buying at the grocery store for mealtimes. I'm Charity Seebecker from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. And recently, Mike Semin was welcomed as the new president and CEO of the Wisconsin Grocers Association. In his initial months in the role, he has observed that the two words top of mind for shoppers this year are value and flexibility.
I have a history of and experience in trade associations and trade association management. Actually, I worked for the Wisconsin Grocers Association about 30 years ago, so for a brief period of time right after college. So joined the grocers again in 2022 and was honored to be chosen as the president last April.
So how has the first half of the year been for you so far?
That's a great question, because it's been getting to know the membership in a much different way and see really what the grocers are doing to help provide value in their communities. And that's really the key word, is value. And the grocers are doing everything they can to provide value in their communities. So for the course of the past few months, I've been getting to know the association, getting to know the grocers in their different communities. And of course, dealing with a couple of different things that have come down the road between the farm bill and pricing and all of those good things.
And why did you want to be the president? Why was this kind of that logical next step for you?
The thing that resonated with me about the grocery industry is their connection with the community. We have a couple of family ties within the industry, but it's really about every grocer is truly connected to their community and operates in a way where they want to make a difference. They're part of the community. So, for example, you might not be able to talk to the president of a super large corporation, but consumers can walk into a grocery store in Wisconsin and they're going to see a store director or maybe the store owner, but they're going to be able to get to talk to people and they're going to see the impact that that store is having in the community and within the lives of everybody there. That really resonated with me and really piqued my interest in this position.
What are some of your goals moving forward now for the rest of the year?
In the same way that the grocers are providing value to their customers, the Wisconsin Grocers Association is trying to do that with its members as well. We're hoping to create some new relationships and broaden our reach through different coalitions and extend and expand those current relationships, particularly in the ag community. And we've had some great discussions with really almost all sectors of the ag community. And we look forward to working with them, whether that's really any sector of the ag community. It's been good. We've been able to work on some legislation together on roads, and we look forward to working more closely over the course of the next couple of years.
And looking at trends now, we're in that back-to-school season. So what back-to-school grocery shopping trends are you seeing this year?
So the two words that really we're seeing the most and really are the two words that are really top of mind, I think, for parents and for anybody who is shopping back to school is value and flexibility. And consumers are extremely focused, as they should be, on value this year, much more so than we've seen in past years, you know, looking back 5 or so years. And the average spend is really about the same, but knowing that prices might have increased in some places and stayed the same in others, shoppers are really looking to make their dollar stretch and go further this year.
Are there certain sales or promotions that typically happen this time of year in grocery retailers?
The grocers have already thought about back to school long before even some of us have had to think about back to school. And this year, what we learned is that back to school shopping really started taking place and consumers were really looking for items of value really right after the 4th of July. It started pretty early this year. And so when you're thinking about some of those products in the grocery store, of course, you're thinking more about things that might be lend themselves to some of the school lunches, some of the family meals that might be taking place. Routines are going to be changed. And I think grocers are capitalizing on that to try and make sure that their customers have what they need to be able to fit into those new routines, whether that's produce or whether that's protein. The grocers are really looking to see what their communities are looking for, and every community is a little bit different.
What factors do grocers consider then when deciding what products to place on their valuable shelf space?
The grocers, again, have thought about this, you know, months in advance, and they're working with their wholesalers and the suppliers to find different products and different ways to provide value, knowing that some of those really core staples are going to be important. And what's interesting is that while there's still kind of a barbell effect in the community with consumers, the barbell is really tipped to one side, and that is consumers are focused on value. And seeking value is really in the DNA of grocers. So whether that's private label, which is something that we'd encourage folks to look at if they're truly seeking some value in their grocery store, or other ways that consumers can remain flexible on different price. So if you have to have a clementine, you know, maybe this week isn't for some consumers the right time for those clementines, but with other produce, they're going to find that it's going to fit their household budget.
You mentioned that parents are seeking out healthy options when purchasing. So how are the grocers responding to that demand for these locally sourced or specialty products?
Some of those locally sourced products are really becoming to the forefront of grocery stores throughout the state of Wisconsin, and that's to the benefit of consumers and the communities. While consumers are really laser-like focused on value. If there are locally sourced products that do provide a certain type of specialty, we see that consumers are definitely willing and want to take a look at those locally sourced products, even if it means spending just a little bit more. So, for example, what we've seen is that 61% say that their children's preferences and their preferences might generally influence them to spend maybe a little bit more. And knowing that locally sourced products are important, particularly in different regions around Wisconsin, that could mean a really good thing.
Are there any other trends that you're keeping an eye on for the rest of the year?
One of the things that I've seen is the grocery stores using technology to help shoppers both provide value, but also provide ideas for mealtime moving forward. And this is something that if you're a parent or you're taking care of kids in any way, shape, or form, something that you might want to really consider, because it could be a really great time-saving opportunity, but it also might provide ways where you could learn about value in some products. Now, particularly when we're looking into September, which is Family Meals Month, by the way, we're encouraging families to sit down a couple of times a week, knowing that their schedules are changing and busy, but we really want to encourage families to eat together at least a couple of times a week. What we've seen is technology where shoppers are able to do meal planning and meal prep, combine that with value for the products that they're seeking in advance, which could really save them time and some money when it comes to the store. Now, what that means is it could mean different recipes that they're able to take a look at and source all those products that they need in advance of going to the store, or whether that's an omni-channel shopper, which means that you're shopping combination of online and in-person. We're seeing those consumers really be savvy and flexible when it comes to making their decisions about what to buy this fall. So one of the things that's very interesting when it comes to consumer behavior is that we're seeing that really value and price is going to take preference in some ways over product loyalty. And so if push comes to shove, parents are going to expect to cut back in certain places on some of the school supplies before some of the healthy meal choices. For example, 50% of shoppers will look for private labels over name brands. And 67% of consumers will shift brands if there is even a perception that the value isn't there. So really, consumers are really very focused on value when it comes to back-to-school shopping.
That's Mike Semin, president and CEO of the Wisconsin Grocers Association, along with us. The Wisconsin Grocers Association represents nearly 350 independent grocers with multiple locations across the state and more than 200 retail grocery chain stores. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Charity Seebecker.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Travel back in time and experience the magic of the Minnesota Renaissance Festival. Journey through a world of armored knights, joking jesters, and enchanting fair maidens. Every weekend, August 17th through September 29th, thrill to live combat jousting, feasting on turkey legs, and shopping hundreds of unique artisans. Bring the whole family for unforgettable fun. Get your discounted tickets today at renaissancefest.com. Find your magic at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. We hear a lot about financial literacy. So what is it? Well, financial literacy is not learning how to pick stocks in the stock market. Financial literacy is learning how to create a budget, how to track personal spending, how to manage and get out of debt, and how to reasonably plan for retirement. And get this, Wisconsin. The University of Wisconsin offers one-on-one financial coaching to any Badger State resident. It's free, it's confidential, and you can do it in person, by phone, or even online. Just search online for UW Extension Financial Coach, and you can get to a sign-up form. I haven't used the program myself yet, but the stats they've posted show a lot of people getting a lot of help. For more money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. It's Tuesday. That means what's grinding our gears. We'll ask you what's worse and so much more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2. The Buzz of the North. 910 AM WBZH.
Looking at my farm, folks, don't get your hopes up there. But, you know, as far as those cover crops, even if you're doing some winter wheat, we would like to see a little moisture in that soil. Sounds like maybe the La Crosse area might get a little taste, huh?
There's a little chance, but I'm looking. The rain kind of slipped across northern Iowa early this morning, and the most I see is trace amounts being reported there. And the radar, in fact, indicating a little activity heading toward northeast Iowa, back toward west central Iowa, too. There's a weak disturbance trying to push east in the South Dakota, northern Nebraska area that could very well spread some of that scattered, very light rain from La Crosse toward the northern Fox Valley, Green Bay, and areas north. There's a chance of a little sprinkly shower, some isolated light rain. That's a possibility a bit later this morning in the far west, and then later in the day, the further you head east and north in Wisconsin. Not going to amount to much of anything. Very scattered, very light rain. Further south, sunny, warm temperatures. The warmth continues in the north, and we warm it up and dry it out even more for Wednesday, Thursday. That rain chance Pam's hoping for to get things in the ground. Some small chances trying to wedge in this weekend, and even those aren't much of anything. Maybe later Sunday, maybe on toward Monday. Nothing too widespread or too heavy. I don't expect we're going to get a real good dousing, even as we make our way into early next week. But the mild weather really does hold on. I'll have forecast details right after this.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Are crumbling roads making your job difficult? The Agricultural Road Improvement Program is a resource that can help. Applications are now open and will close on September 30th. Help your local town or county apply for this valuable investment in local roadways by filling out the Farmer Support Form, now available at WFBF.com. Wisconsin Farm Bureau, the trusted voice leading Wisconsin agriculture forward.
By the way, don't forget, we've got the latest list of endorsements from the Volunteers for Agriculture for State Assembly and Senate positions coming up. All right, dude, what's coming up as far as my weather forecast? Looks like it's going to be a dandy, at least in the Madison area.
Well, yeah, let's talk about sunshine, low 80s, maybe upper 70s in northern Wisconsin, that La Crosse to, say, Appleton or Oshkosh line north, maybe some sprinkles here during the day, a very isolated shower, and not too bad for winds either, south winds 5 to 10. Overnight, partly cloudy, a few more clouds in the east yet late tonight, upper 50s, south winds still 5 to 10, mostly sunny Wednesday, a gorgeous day. We push up into the low and even mid 80s, warmest in the south, and by Thursday, sunny skies in the mid 80s, even upper 80s in western Wisconsin. Thursday, southeast winds at 5, a little cool down Friday, Pam, low 80s, upper 70s for the weekend, and maybe some hit and miss showers trying to edge in.
Now, not that I want the shoe to drop, but have you looked ahead? We're not going to do an about face or anything next week, are we?
No.
All right. Great way to wrap it up on a Tuesday morning. I appreciate that, dude. We will catch up with you tomorrow.
All right, see you then.
Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist, does not want to talk about that. No, no, no. All right, remember, your talk text line is open to you now, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. You got cover crops going in just yet? What's happening?
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app.
Are you ready to start a meaningful career in healthcare? Are you looking for a job that fits your work-life balance? Become a certified direct care professional today and make life better for older adults or people with a disability. WISC Caregiver Careers makes it easy with free online training plus earn a $500 bonus. See your name on Wisconsin's Certified Direct Care Registry. Sign up today at WISCCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles west, northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Today's U.S. Bowling League Day. I am not in a bowling league. I think that would actually be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I do like to bowl. But
you got the bowling shirt going on tonight there, Pete.
I do have the bowling shirt. In case the game breaks out, I'm ready. Because I was raised, I'm a street bowler, Chris. I'm ready in case a game breaks out. It could happen.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Two individuals, Dallas Aaron Umber and Matthew Allison, in custody and facing charges of trying to start a race war using the messaging app Telegram.
Federal officials are growing increasingly concerned that domestic extremists are finding safe haven on this site to be able to go and share information like bomb-making instructions, how to carry out a mass attack targeting places like synagogues or ethnic centers. And that's what's laid out in detail in this indictment. This elevated not to just words, but there were three individuals tied to this group who actually either sought to or did carry out attacks that resulted in deaths.
ABC's Alex Mallon. Vice President Harris and former President Trump debate tonight at Philadelphia's National Constitution Center, 9 p.m. on ABC. The search for accused I-75 sniper Joseph Couch continues in southeast Kentucky. He's charged with shooting 12 vehicles with a semi-automatic rifle on Saturday, wounding five people. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Two new polls show a tight presidential race in Wisconsin. Terry Bell reports.
The CBS News YouGov poll finds 51% of likely voters favor Kamala Harris, while 49% back Donald Trump. Meanwhile, consulting firm Platform Communications finds Harris leading Trump with likely Wisconsin voters 48% to 45%. I'm Terry Bell.
Both polls put Harris's lead inside the margin of error. Democratic vice presidential nominee Tim Walz returns to Wisconsin later this week. Walz will appear at different political events in Wausau on Friday night, then stump in Superior on Saturday afternoon. Walz spoke at Milwaukee's Labor Fest on Labor Day. Donald Trump spoke to a rally in central Wisconsin over the weekend. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers will have to get by without QB1. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Jordan Love is expected to miss 3 to 6 weeks with an MCL sprain, and head coach Matt LaFleur says they won't risk anything with his injury.
If he gets cleared, we'll give him every opportunity like we always will, and I know he's doing everything in his power. I know he's spending a lot of time trying to get back as soon as possible, but certainly we're not going to put him in a position where if he can't protect himself that he'd go out there.
On Sunday, it will be the Green Bay Packers taking on the Indianapolis Colts as each team seeks its first victory. Wisconsin football plays Alabama this week, and head coach Luke Fickell says the defense will need to play smart.
Sometimes, and these are the situations where, guys, you can't be thinking about the big plays. You got to be thinking about the real consistent, sound things, because if you get out of place on a team like this, and in particular a quarterback like this, there's some really bad things that can happen.
Kickoff is at 11 a.m. Saturday. And tonight, the Brewers begin a 6-game road trip in San Francisco. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska for Civic Media Sports.
Pat Kreitlow.
Tuesday morning, Hans Breitenmoser helps us with a little manure 101. There's a lot to know about finding the right balance between good crops and dirty water.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
We could catch an isolated sprinkle or two at some point today. Otherwise, partly cloudy, a little breezy with a high in the low 80s. Tonight, partly cloudy, upper 50s to low 60s. And then tomorrow, it'll be partly cloudy, not as breezy, with a high in the low to mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 51.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Today's U.S. Bowling League Day. I am not in a bowling league. I think that would actually be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I do like to bowl. But
you got the bowling shirt going on tonight there, Pete.
I do have the bowling shirt. In case the game breaks out, I'm ready. Because I was raised, I'm a street bowler, Chris. I'm ready in case a game breaks out. It could happen.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health, but you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Today's U.S. Bowling League Day. I am not in a bowling league. I think that would actually be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I do like to bowl. But,
you got the bowling shirt going on tonight there, Pete.
I do have the bowling shirt. In case the game breaks out, I'm ready. Because I was raised, I'm a street bowler, Chris. I'm ready in case a game breaks out. It could happen.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
More mobility than you might imagine.
I have been reassured that John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing, is going to be joining us this morning. John got a little caught up with his girl's first day of school last week and missed us, but he says he is focused on what's happening in the marketplace this morning, and he'll be joining us live on a Tuesday. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. Also on the way, the latest crop ratings for Wisconsin's corn and soybeans, and Wisconsin's Volunteers for Agriculture have made some endorsements in the upcoming fall races. We'll share a few of those with you as well. So today is the 10th day of September. What can I tell you? On this day back in 1846, the patent for the sewing machine was awarded. Patent office awarded the patent for the first sewing machine with a lock stitch design to Elias Howe from Spencer, Massachusetts. He didn't have a lot of success marketing the machine, but the design became very successful, especially with women. The similarity of the machine sold by Isaac Singer, founder of the Singer Sewing Machine Company, to Howe's machine prompted him to take Singer to court. And by the way, he won the case, even if you don't recognize his name, with the sewing machine. That patent awarded on this day back in 1846. On this day in 2014, Prince Harry launched the first Invictus Games. Remember, the international game, the Invictus Games, are all about bringing together wounded armed forces personnel and veterans that compete in athletic competitions. Started on this day back in 2014. And just one happy birthday this morning to English actor Colin Firth. He is 64 years young, and now you know. Next week, Wednesday, September 18th, ag economists, dairy leaders from across the United States are coming to Madison to talk about the outcome of the federal milk marketing order hearings that wrapped up earlier this year. What could it mean for Wisconsin dairy producers and the dairy brands that we've built? Stephanie Hoff sat down with ag economist and associate professor Chuck Nicholson from the UW-Madison campus to learn more.
The mission to reform the outdated milk pricing model has been going on for a number of years, and now deadlines are approaching that signal we're making progress. Chuck Nicholson joins us in studio to talk about where we stand on the timeline for the federal milk marketing order reform process. Chuck is an associate professor and a dairy economist at UW-Madison. He reminds dairy producers there's a deadline coming up soon.
Well, we're in a good place in terms of getting to the end game on this. As you know, this has been a long process, as these administrative processes kind of tend to be. But we're going to have an important deadline coming up at the end of this week, the 13th of September, and that's when comments from the public and from major dairy organizations are due to USDA for them to consider about whether any additional modifications might be made to this thing that came out on the 1st of July, this recommended decision, which was basically a statement of, here's what we're thinking we're going to do about milk pricing.
And let's talk about that came out early July. Some quick bullets that matter to Wisconsin dairy farmers from that first proposal from USDA after they had their, you know, hearing process and took in all this information.
I think the two key things that are going to be of interest to dairy farmers are there was a change proposed to this thing we call the make allowances, which are a way of trying to account for the cost of transforming farm milk into products. And the basic way that works is that the make allowance is subtracted from a product price, and that ultimately ends up as a component value in a producer milk check. So if you increase those make allowance values, other things kind of being equal, you're going to end up with lower component values and therefore a lower class price, a lower minimum price that we paid for milk, say, used in cheese like class 3. The other major change, though, is kind of offsetting to that, which is we have these things called class one differentials, which are basically an additional amount that a processor pays for milk that's going to be used in a beverage product. So the milk you buy at the grocery store. And USDA, in the recommended decision, proposed basically increasing those class one differentials across the board throughout the United States. But those things are specified like county by county. It's really complicated. And so there are some differences across the U.S. in how much those would go up. Here in Wisconsin, the average increase would be about $1.20 for 100 weight. So there's kind of these two major offsetting proposed changes. One is going to not look so good on a producer milk check, and the other, particularly in areas of the U.S. that have more class one or fluid beverage milk, that's going to be a more positive storyline.
UW-Madison dairy economist Chuck Nicholson joining us in our full conversation at MidwestFarmReport.com. Chuck also outlines the vote that will take place after the comment period closes. You can find that conversation on our podcast page. Until then, he invites you to a federal milk marketing order workshop on September 18th. This will be both in person in Madison and virtual. They'll feature local and national experts to help produce understand the ins and outs of the milk pricing reform. You can find those event details at pdpw.org. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Are crumbling roads making your job difficult? The Agricultural Road Improvement Program is a resource that can help. Applications are now open and will close on September 30th. Help your local town or county apply for this valuable investment in local roadways by filling out the Farmer Support Form, now available at WFBF.com. Wisconsin Farm Bureau, the trusted voice leading Wisconsin agriculture forward.
Whether it's finally getting that blue ribbon or enjoying too many carnival rides, we all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs as they look for the grand champion fair story. Enter the Fair Story contest for a chance to win a cash prize at MidwestFarmReport.com.
Corn rootworm is a ruthless pest, which is why Bayer is relentless in its innovation. SmartStax Pro with RNAi technology is here. With an RNAi-based mode of action unlike anything that's come before, plus two proven BT traits, it's innovation that equals the strongest biotech defense in medium to high corn rootworm pressure environments from Bayer. Talk to your seed dealer about defending like a pro with SmartStax Pro technology. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices. Copyright 2024 Bayer Group. All rights reserved.
Well, with the tight upcoming election, agriculture's voice is expected to matter this November. Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation's Volunteers for Agriculture have released their initial endorsements for state assembly and state senate races coming up November 5th. Jason Mungnaini, who is the executive director of government relations for the Farm Bureau, said that the Volunteers for Agriculture process relies on members' grassroots input when it comes to endorsements. The seven candidates for state senate that the Volunteers for Agriculture are endorsing include Rob Staffstolt from New Richmond, Mary Filtzkowski from Tomahawk, Joan Baldwig from Marquesan, Melissa Ratcliffe from Cottage Grove, Dan Fyan from Fond du Lac, Patrick Teston from Stevens Point, and Brad Paff from Onalaska. So a mixture of Republicans and Democrats. They also endorsed 46 candidates for the state assembly. You can see those endorsements up on our website, MidwestFarmReport.com. Markets in overnight electronic trade this morning are trending lower. Right now, December corn's down a penny at 4.06. November soybeans down 10.5, currently at 10.07. December wheat's down about a penny, 5.68. Yesterday, the barrel cheese did gain a penny to 2.28.5. 40-pound block cheese stood still at 2.27, while AA butter gained another penny and a half to 3.19 a pound. The October Class 3 milk that goes into cheese this morning, down 6. Currently, 23.48 a hundredweight. Wisconsin harvest is starting to roll forward a little bit, according to the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service. As of Sunday across the state, we had about 9% of our corn that had been harvested for silage. That's about 2 days behind last year. 64% of our corn crop was called good to excellent. That's also down 1 percentage point in confidence in just 1 week's time. As far as soybeans are concerned, 10% of that crop dropping its leaves, which is a sign of maturity. 62% of our soybeans are called good to excellent. That's actually up a percentage point in a week. 96% of our third cutting alfalfa hay is already harvested, and 42% of our potatoes are already harvested as well. This weather is going to be something our potato producers really have to monitor quite closely. When you get those temperatures into the 80s, those potatoes a little bit more comfortable in the ground than out of the ground. We'll be following up with our Wisconsin potato growers to find out how they're feeling about the warm-up as the week unfolds. Up next, as the show unfolds, we turn our attention to the marketplace and what traders are talking about this morning. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, brings us the latest conversation next.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. In wins for voters, two Pennsylvania Commonwealth Court rulings confirm that so-called naked ballots may be cured with a provisional ballot and that undated or misdated mail ballots must be counted. The AP reports that 16,000 Pennsylvanians had their mail ballots rejected because of missing information in the 2022 midterms, over 8,000 of which for missing the outer secrecy envelope, so-called naked ballots. Another 7,900 ballots rejected had missing or inaccurate dates. A 2020 state case confirmed that county authorities could reject naked ballots and gave election officials latitude to decide whether to notify a voter that a ballot could be fixed, known as curing. Democracy Docket reports that two Butler County voters sued when officials refused to cure their 2024 state primary ballots. The ACLU argued that if their ballots were defective, they should be entitled to cure them with a provisional ballot so they wouldn't be disenfranchised. A lower court denied the argument, but the Pennsylvania Commonwealth Court overturned the decision September 5th. This follows another decision from the Commonwealth Court August 30th that Pennsylvania counties must count otherwise valid mail ballots which have no date or are misdated. Big wins for Pennsylvanians hoping their vote will count in November. We've linked to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, she is running in Wisconsin's 18th Senate District. Kristen Alfheim joins us at 11:06. We'll hear what she's hearing about on the campaign trail. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
97.79. Thanks for joining us, John. Let's talk about what you're hearing as far as the harvest is concerned. Like I said, we're only doing silage right now in Wisconsin. No number two yellow coming off just yet, but that's not the case everywhere.
Yeah, we've got some of that southern harvest is starting to kick in, and it'll continue to work itself more north, obviously, as we move further into the fall months here. And, you know, right now with yesterday's crop ratings, 5% of the crop is harvested. That's about 2% above average. It's just, you know, with this warmer, drier forecast here that's really kind of keeping this crop moving along, on at least in the maturity levels in some of those southern states. And, you know, some of the early results, I do have some clients down in the Missouri area, down around that Springfield, Missouri area. area. They're very, very happy with the results that they're seeing. You know, that's one of those areas we typically don't count on in terms of corn production, and they're running 20 bushels above APH and, you know, having a really, really good crop this year because they just seem to hit the weather right. And I'm hearing more stories of that as things are going north. Now, USDA is coming out this week. I think we got the next supply-demand crop production report here on Thursday. We are expecting to see a little bit of a reduction in the corn yield just with that variability that all these, you know, the farm tours and crop tours are finding. I think USDA is going to reflect that, plus just the finishing weather. It's just been a little too dry here at this time frame. Maybe yield comes down about a half a bushel per acre. Still going to be a very good crop overall, and that's something I think is going to start weighing on the markets. Maybe that's coming into play today with the overnight weakness that we've seen, as well as just the market kind of peaking out on Friday and turning over for both corn and soybeans. And now today we're getting a little more follow through off that selling pressure.
We did see a little bit of a zip up yesterday. I noticed soybeans up a dime. Was there somebody in the marketplace that we didn't expect?
I think a lot of that was tied to the equity markets yesterday. We just had a bit of a risk-on trade yesterday with big jump in the stock prices. You know, there's a lot of volatility right now. That's typically what we see in the fall window here. Again, one of the things in soybeans that's been really encouraging, we have seen a nice uptick of demand for both corn and soybeans. So I think that just kind of maybe stays in the market a little bit. We are watching longer-term South American weather. We're going to start talking about that probably more than U.S. weather here very, very soon as they're getting ready to play. Plant and things are a little bit dry, even though it's their dry season right now, but they're a little just drier than normal. Market could have been throwing a little bit of premium in that regard.
John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joining us live here on the Midwest Farm Report. TotalFarmMarketing.com, their website, if you want to talk to John, 800-334-9779. You mentioned about how a little bit dry. I don't know that it's big conversation for farmers, but you have to start noticing that dry, not only as far as field conditions, John, but transportation. You're a little worried about that Mississippi River again.
Yeah, for a third straight fall, we're watching that Memphis, Mississippi River levels, and they are now actually at record low levels. We are at restrictive flow. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is dredging, trying to get that area to stay open, but that's something that's going to be a factor in terms of prices. You know, my favorite word of the fall is this quagmire of bushels that we've got coming at us here between harvest and old crop and trying to get things down the Gulf, and any restriction on trade, travel flows, it's going to get reflected in freight prices. And that's going to get reflected in our prices in terms of the global scale. So right now we're still very competitive, not still the cheapest for both corn and soybeans, but those prices have been on the increase here, and I think that's a big factor. Now, we do have a tropical storm, possibly Hurricane Francine down in the bottom in the Gulf. That's going to work up maybe through that area, so hopefully that can provide some water. But again, if that doesn't, that could be another factor that's going to weigh in this market, especially with the large supply of corn and soybeans that we got coming forward here in the next handful of weeks.
I did notice a story in the Wall Street Journal also commenting about what's going on with China's currency value. That's always an ongoing conversation, but what have we heard out of China lately, John? Any consumption uptick that we're looking forward to there?
The Chinese economy is a major concern in the commodity space in general. That's why we've seen the weakness in the crude oil market here recently, and I do think it's been a factor limiting any rallies in the grain market. Chinese economy, in a nutshell, is struggling at this time frame. We continue to see stimulus packages getting pumped into that economy to fire things up. Again, that does weigh on the value of the yuan versus the other currencies, so that is a limiting factor. I think that's one of the reasons why when we see these purchases for soybeans coming in, they're very small. 132,000 tons was a sale yesterday. You know, they're just kind of buying hand to mouth in terms of what they need in this window to meet demands and not really overbuying at this time frame. Some of that is the supplies they have there in their country in terms of soybeans and soybean meal at the ports. But at the same time, I just think the general economy is struggling, and that's going to be reflected in the commodity space in general.
You mentioned South America and how they will step into the market in a big way as we flip into calendar year 2025. What is their weather situation? I haven't paid attention with ours kind of front and center.
You know, they are in their dry season right now. Rain chances start picking up at the end of September into October. But again, things have been are abnormally dry. And then there's a little bit of chatter about the drought being very, very severe in some regions. Now, that's going to pause some planting on the soybean side. They don't plant until the rains come. I already seen that Mato Grosso is backing off on their soybean planting, at least in terms of their start date. That can just kind of push things all back on the calendar as the year goes on. So we'll have to kind of keep an eye on that. You know, right now they are planting some of that first crop corn, which typically goes into the industrial side or right into the Brazil use purposes, not for the export market. They're about 15% done in those southern states where that moisture is. But that's going to be something going forward if that starts pushing those planting dates back, if that moisture doesn't come with the monsoon season or the wet season.
Yeah, very true. Thank you very much, John, for catching up with us today. John Heinberg joining us live this morning. He is one of the commodity brokers with TotalFarmMarketing.com, all about risk management, especially at this stage in the game. You can find out more about their risk management plan no matter what you're growing or producing. TotalFarmMarketing.com, or again, as we said, 800-334-9779. That's 800-334-9779. John Heinberg joining us live this morning here on the Midwest Farm Report. Tomorrow morning, we are going to be catching up with our friends from the Steffes Group. That's our friend Ashley Hewen to find out. He said right now it looks like the auction bills are stacking up pretty thick as farmers get ready to head to the fields. We'll catch up with you tomorrow morning. Have a great Tuesday.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on Air.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers. And the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
A look at the debate over using agricultural land for solar energy projects today on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for R-H-I-Z-O-L from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Mixing solar energy generation with agriculture. There's definitely two sides to that coin. The National Ag Law Center recently hosted a webinar on whether agriculture and solar can coexist. One of the presenters, Peggy Kirk Hall, an ag law professor at The Ohio State University, says there's some tension about the topic.
A lot of concerns about the footprint and farmland protection issues and the loss of agricultural land to solar development, particularly prime agricultural soils. There are also concerns about the effects on our local agricultural infrastructure and services and economy and what the continued loss of those acreages mean for those agricultural economies.
On the other hand, says Hall,
I think that dairy operation seems a prime possibility for an agrivoltaics project. We lease out some of the land for solar, and then we incorporate a forage production project into that solar array, and that forage then is used for the dairy.
There's a link to the webinar on the show info page at NorthShoreProductions.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Teach Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome author, comedian Roger Rittenhouse, who will discuss his new book, Big Techs, and Tim Sowers from the Overture Center in Madison drops by to discuss their upcoming slate.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Today's U.S. Bowling League Day. I am not in a bowling league. I think that would actually be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I do like to bowl. But
you got the bowling shirt going on tonight there, Pete.
I do have the bowling shirt. In case the game breaks out, I'm ready. Because I was raised, I'm a street bowler, Chris. I'm ready in case a game breaks out. It could happen.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry.